A song written by Spencer Dryden from the new Riders of the Purple Sage album. Who are those guys?
You know what movie that's from?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. Who are those guys?
Pinkertons.
Yeah.
Let's move forward in history to the dinosaurs. Peter Alvin, can you tell us?
Forward in history to the dinosaurs. Does that make sense? Yeah,
that's an oxymoron for you.
Yeah. Is that a palindrome?
English is beautiful.
Oxymoron.
Moving forward now to the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if it weren't for the dinosaurs, we wouldn't have any oil to be running out of now. But seriously, folks.
Anyway.
Tell about the formation of the dinosaurs.
Well, the dinosaurs concept, of course, was one band member from each of the bands that were popular in San Francisco in the 60s.
Whose concept was it?
Well, I'm not sure. I think Barry's and myself and John.
Spencer had the best description of the dinosaurs.
Which was?
Spencer said a lot of old guys met together every Friday or Saturday night and played poker, and four guys would lose and one guy would win, and they'd go on that way for years. He said the advantage of the dinosaurs is it was like five guys meeting every Friday or Saturday night to play poker, only everybody won. conceptually, you know, that was a good idea. I mean, because, you know, it wasn't like... Well, I saw this review on the internet of dinosaurs that said, boy, if somebody thought of that 10 or 15 years earlier, it really might have flown. I mean, you know, it was a day late and a dollar short, kind of. But that's okay, because
well, everybody in the band had fun.
Yeah, I mean, and originally, you know, really, that's what it was for. It was not meant to be a serious enterprise. It was meant to be, let's get together. Yeah. And
one of the things that Spencer always said was, whenever we were talking about playing a gig, was like, let's make it an occasion. Let's make it a celebration, something, not just another gig. With a theme or whatever. Yeah. And some of the dinosaur posters were kind of like that. There was one that was on a Kabuki theater with a big Godzilla-type creature on it. I'm not sure exactly if we played Godzilla-type music or anything, but there were others, too, that had themes more visual on the posters. But we had decorations and things, and we'd always have people jamming with us. That was one of the main concepts of the band. We had so many different kinds of people.
And Spencer loved the craziness.
Yeah.
Spencer liked it when people showed up, and he liked it. The more insane it would get, the more at home he felt.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Spencer. Right. I mean, Spencer liked unpredictability. he thrived on unpredictability. Yeah. He liked to not know what was going to
organized
happen.
Organized chaos.
Yeah, yeah. And what was that quote that you said about Spencer?
So, he could wrap psychedelic mayhem into some semblance of what was it? Order and comfort.
Yeah. See, yeah. Spencer could make sense.
He was comfortable with that.
Spencer could make sense out of chaos, and so that's why he wanted chaos around all the time, because he knew once it got to that place, he could be the master of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, and that the rest of us were relatively helpless. You know?
How a drummer gets the upper hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. Get everybody else completely.
One of the ways musically on stage is to smash the hell out of the cymbals. He was a crasher.
Yeah, there's nothing louder in the universe of music.
There were nights when Spencer would take pieces out of his cymbals. I mean, literally from hitting himself.
From hitting him.
Yeah.
And then he'd keep playing them.
Yeah.
Collected those. Cymbals.
He did have this kind of punk rock sensibility, you know, during the 80s. He loved that kind of music and started kind of getting into that. And
The Dinosaurs was a great show. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Used to come see you in Cotati. I even sat in Cotati one time.
Hey.
I remember when you guys played the Roxy in L.A. and you filled the Roxy. You had a great moment there. You had a run. You had a great run.
And who would we have jamming with us there? We had some interesting people, I think, at the Roxy. Yeah, I can't remember exactly. Well, we just had Bob Hunter was in the band at the time.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was a dinosaur.
There was a bunch of people that would sit in. Norton Buffalo is one that just comes to mind. And
Well, I heard a recording this afternoon with Nicky Hopkins sitting in, and just the list of people that were on the show that night was pretty impressive. Nicky was playing piano, and
Jim McPherson played with
the violin player with Dan Hicks, Sid somebody.
Sid Page.
Sid Page.
Oh, Sid Page.
Well, let's the
dinosaurs. Rodney Albin, another violin player played with Dinosaurs.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
We have a CD here. The Dinosaurs made one record for Relics Records, and it was recently reissued by Evangeline over in the UK. A compilation was put together by Mick Skidmore with the original album plus a couple of bonus tracks and a whole nother CD of live stuff. And I love the title of it. It's called Friends of Extinction. So Peter Albin chose a track. Let's listen to Butcher's Boy.
This is an old folk song that Barry has been singing for years. But it's interesting to the concept of the electric concept and with Spencer drumming away in the background.
Let me make sure I have the right track queued up here. Let's go for it.
I cannot tell. to warn the world. I'll die for love, I'll die for love, I'll die.
Song from Friends of Extinction by the Dinosaurs, reissued recently by Evangeline Records Limited in England, and that track was called Butcher's Boy. Yes, Barry Melton.
Yeah, play this, because Jesse and I were trying to figure out today, because, and you know, I figured out with my wife, we were sitting around figuring it out. Spencer played drums with me longer than any other drummer. I mean, continuously, we played together for a dozen years.
And
this is a track from June of '94, which would be around the time that Spencer was like hanging up the gloves, and he had that serious talk with me. He said, "Man, I got just a couple more gigs. Man, I'm gonna play like when the airplane goes into the hall." I mean, he was telling me, you know, but he was like talking about retirement, and he was starting to hurt then because his hip was going, you know.
Yeah.
My wife has one artificial hip and is looking at getting another real soon, so I know what kind of pain that is. It's just bad, and I can't imagine playing drums.
Because you got to use your legs all day.
So this would have been, I mean, we were gigging regularly all the way up through here. I mean, you know, once a week or so. I mean, you know, probably. So through 94.
Every 2 or 3 weeks.
So certainly we worked together regularly from the middle of 1982 through the middle of 1984. 94. 94, which is 12 years. And this would be toward the end of the run. So I just thought you might play it because it's toward the end.
Let's listen to this. It's from the Barry the Fish Melton Band CD called The Saloon Years on The Saloon Recordings. The track's called
Who
Love.
Who knows if it was called that on that night? What I mean is, you know, those were all different. We had this theory that if we called the band eight different things, people would think it was different. So, you know what I mean? So we had like Fish Stew, which was, you know,
sometimes
Stew Blank, me, Chipolina, Spencer, and Peter. Then we had the Fish and Chip Band, which Stew Blank might show up for. It was the same goddamn band as the other band. But, you know, we had a theory that if we called it different names, that people would come see these different acts, you know? But
it was really, did it work?
One of the same.
Sort of. I mean, it was the same. You know, Chipolina had like 15 different bands, but of the 15 different bands Chipolina was in, two of them, there were really only two of them. Or three, and then it was five names for each three. You know,
this is like
and
the inverse of marketing.
15. Yeah.
This is like the totally bass-ackwards way to get your name out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a different name every
exactly.
time.
Yeah.
That's real rock and roll, kids.
I like it.
Thank you.
got some, the money came back. I've got something and you wanna try.
Okay, the name of that song was Love, but after it started, we found out that Spencer Dryden wasn't the drummer on that song. Dave Getz was the drummer on that song. It says so right here on the CD, yeah. Guest drummer.
See, I didn't put my reading glasses on.
You didn't have your Dina Dills, but...
Yeah. You know, what can I say? I can't say that word, can I? I effed up.
No,
that's correct.
Yeah, I effed up. I can say that, right? But that's, you know, that's pretty typical. So Jesse Dryden is going to talk about the Spencer Dryden website.
Well, there you go. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
So you've been running the SpencerDryden.com website?
Well, yeah, it didn't really start out as a website. I in December, Spencer was coming out of the hospital, one of his many trips out of the hospital over the last few months, and was ranting and raving about how much he hated net zero. And so kind of as a Christmas gift, we elected to register the domain and just to be able to give him an easy-to-remember email address. And as it turns out, we had a totally different need for it a few weeks later. And here we are.
The front page is basically just a link to the guest book at this point.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I said, I had just only set it up so Spencer could have, you know, an easy-to-remember email address. And, you know, there just became this immediate need for it, and so very rushed in the first few days. People were telling me to throw something up, and so we put it up, and it'll serve a purpose in, you know, the next few months. And I just had an idea. You know, lots of people were sending me email, and so much email that I couldn't really keep up with it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were sending, you know, some pretty, you know, kind of deep sentimental thoughts and reflections on his career. And so one of the only content that it really had was I had this idea to put a guest book in so people could do that. And it really took off. And you know, hopefully that'll continue. And obviously, we'll use the website. We're planning, in accordance with Spencer's wishes, we're going to have a memorial concert in a few months' time. And something that might be interest to your listeners is that today I got word that Bob Weir has agreed to participate, and so far I think that's the only person I have confirmed. So, you know, it's a good start, and you know, within time we'll be able to use the website to let people know what's happening on that front. And
well, we'll keep an eye on the website, and maybe there'll be pictures and music. And
yeah,
stuff
I mean, it's again, time. It's the first week, and I'm sure within time we'll have wonderful ideas and, you know, and content, and, you know, hopefully it serves as kind of a, you know, one of the other things I've noticed that the website and the guest book has done is it's brought a lot of old friends together, you know.
Yeah, and, people have been contacting me, man. It's cool. The guy who played baritone horn with me at Madison Junior High wrote me an email because... you know, somehow Spencer brought us together.
Yeah. All kinds of odd people are popping up and emailing and, you know, signing the guest book, old teachers, you know, childhood friends.
Nice. Did you, I don't know how to ask about growing up being the child of a insane rock star person. What was it like?
It's, you know, it's one of those things that has its ups and downs. I mean, it has its pros when you're, you know, a student in Marin County. I, you know, had more than a few teachers give me automatic A's. Or
it's a pedigree.
Hey,
it's
a
pedigree. You know, and Spencer would at times, I think when he was with the New Writers, I was in school, I remember one time, it must have been 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and I needed something, some sort of note that he had forgotten to sign, and so I had to call him in the morning, so you have to bring me this note. So like 11:30 in the morning, and sitting in class, and the door opens, and he walks in his leather fringe cowboy jacket and big cowboy hat and sunglasses, and walked across the room to give me the note, and I think that he neglected to remember the fact that they actually had a joint and not a cigarette in his mouth. And the teacher just shook her head, and he quietly, you know, put the note on my desk, waved to the kids, and made his way out. And, you know, it was one of those classic examples of,
that's my man,
you know, life with father.
My dad.
It's a very Marin County story.
Yeah. Wow.
It's really great. I just want to say that I can hear Spencer in your voice, and that's a natural, but it's a beautiful thing, you know, how that carries through in life.
Hey, I want to thank all of you for coming out tonight. This has been exactly what I was hoping it would be, a sweet and fond remembrance and some good music and some funny stories. and some soulful stuff as well. Before I thank the people that are here in the room with me, I want to thank again the people who contributed material for tonight. Bob Sarles, who gave me his interviews from the sessions he did for Fly Jefferson Airplane. An excellent DVD, by the way. Tremendous performance videos of the Jefferson Airplane in their heyday, including the Smothers Brothers show with Grace in blackface, which is something you have to see. And Rob Bleetstein, who runs NRPS.net, which is a great place to get music that involves Spencer Dryden. In fact, there's, what, the third of the live stuff just came out, the one from August of 72 from Vanita, Oregon, a terrific show. Stephen Barnard, who mixed that concert for a release, and also sent some material in. Steve Kaiser, Mike Somavilla, and Mike Akatif. I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong there, but thank you all for your contributions tonight. Peter Albin, thank you for being here. David
My
Nelson.
Pleasure. Thanks,
Dave. Dave Getz, Barry Melton, Jesse Dryden. It's been great fun to have you all here.
Thanks for inviting us.
I wish we had two more hours, but this has been good. Stay tuned, folks. Larry Kelp is here for his program, Sing Out. And from the looks of things, there's at least one live band in the next room getting ready to play. So don't bother turning off your radio. Just keep it tuned to KPFA. There isn't really time to play any more music, but Dinosaur's CD has just been reissued, Friends of Extinction. It's on an English label called Evangeline. But you can find it on Amazon.com, and don't search for dinosaurs because you'll have a hard time finding it among the 90,000 entries. But if you type in the string Friends of Extinction, you're likely to find many fewer things to choose from. And it's an excellent record. We heard a little bit of it tonight. One CD of the original Dinosaurs record and another CD of live stuff. Is there anything else we need to talk about? You got any gigs coming up, Dave? You say you want to play until you die. Do you have any gigs coming up?
Playing this Saturday night with my wife, Joan Getz, who's a great singer, and a wonderful pianist, Mark Little, great jazz pianist, at a little restaurant in Sausalito called Divino's. Everybody come on down and hear some great jazz.
Barry, when are you playing again? You play at the Saloon like once a month or so, right?
Less often than that, but I play all the time. I just played day before yesterday at the Davis, California Martin Luther King celebration as part of the Davis Freedom Singers, this mighty civil rights orchestra.
Are you and Henry Kaiser doing something, or did you
do it? No, Henry and I are actually playing together 1 week from tomorrow night, I guess, at the Ashkenaz here in Berkeley. So for your Berkeley folks who listen to KPFA, it's Henry's, what does he call it?
Grooves of Mystery.
Yeah. The what?
Grooves of Mystery.
Oh, the Grooves of, yeah, Henry of Kaiser's Grooves of Mystery, which he calls his psychedelic dance band.
Peter?
Well, Big Brother has a website. You could always check where we're playing. That's bbhc.com. And our next gigs are going to be in Europe. So if you have friends in Europe, particularly in Czech Republic and Germany and Austria and Switzerland.
Come on down.
Nice. Is that what Jane's singing?
Well, we have various people singing.
You have like regional girl singers.
I think we have Andrew Mitrovich.
Andrew Mitrovich is going to be the singer on this tour. Great singer from Texas.
Yeah.
And Nelson, the David Nelson Band, one of my favorite bands on wheels right now. When are you guys playing again?
Yeah, well, we are shaping up a tour toward the end of the month and the beginning of February, but I can't tell you exactly where that's going to be because I'm the brains of the outfit. I'm the last one to find out what's going on.
And the brains are all coming out of the floor.
Go to nelsonband.com for information on the David Nelson Band. Thank you all again so much for being here.